Hey everyone. See, that's my alteration of hello everybody. This is Jerry from Toffee Blues USA, joined today by Jacob, also of Toffee Blues USA. Jacob, how you doing, man?
Doing great. How you doing?
I'm still struggling with the spiel, Jacob. Thank you for asking. I have not nailed down the words. There's so many others out there, and I can't use the same one I was using for Toffee Blues, so yeah, I'm still working. If you have a suggestion, please send it to at JerryGibson1 on Twitter. Tell me your spiel suggestion. I'd love to try it, and hopefully it's not something really mean about me. All right, so anyway, you'll remember Jacob from last time. He's the smooth-talking gentleman who is not actually seated beside me, just sort of looks like he's seated beside me, because the magic... technology,
the internet.
Yes, I don't fully understand it. I'm over 40, but I'm learning the ways. So Jacob, just for FYI, for everybody out there watching, if Jacob seems distracted, he's watching one of his teams. He's watching Orlando City on a one of his 11 televisions he keeps in his room, where he can keep up with different football all around the world. And he's simultaneously gracing us with his presence, giving up some of his time during a match, during a live match, in order to talk Everton with us. It's really cool.
Love to be here, Jerry. Love it. Just love it.
I love the way you said that, almost with a sneer. Love to be here, Jerry. Which is totally fine. So Jacob, right now Orlando is winning, so he's already done his like barbaric yawp. He's been so excited. So we're starting off super positive, and maybe in 2 minutes we will deflate when we talk about last week's matches that happened. We played Southampton and played Wolves. We'll talk about both of those. Looking to the future, because after last week. Just look forward, baby. Villa preview. We're going to talk about. We got an upcoming match with Villa, and then lastly, as this is Toffee Blues USA, something that's actually affects both. Some transfer rumors cropping up recently about Everton actually being interested in one of the bright young American players out there in the world right now, Weston McKennie, a center midfielder. We're going to talk about. I don't know if we're just going to figure out the angles here. What are the angles? Is he a good fit? Is he a good player? Is he good energy? Yeah, he is. There's just a lot to talk about Weston McKennie. Yeah, he is, you know. Definitely would bring some grit. He's not afraid to get in somebody's face, which is good. We got a lot to say about Weston McKennie, so we'll talk about that fella. But for now, Jacob, let's discuss this, the first match. And if you have recorded the Southampton match and have not watched it, this is your warning. It was a 1-1 draw with a team that's actually playing pretty decent football right now.
Yeah, Southampton are playing very decent football right now.
You know, they just drew with United, who is one of the hottest teams in Premier League in terms of results right now. So they're not bad. So
no.
Take us through your opening thoughts on Southampton, and bear in mind, I know you have a lot to say, but this show can only last, 3 hours, Jacob, so go.
Right, 3 hours. We'll keep it short.
Yeah, keep it brief.
Concise. First half, very bad. Very, very bad first half. There was a very poor penalty conceded. There was a couple chances that probably should have gone in. We were very lucky probably not to be down 3-4-0 at the half. But one of the best assists of the season from Luka Dean, hooking up with a Charleston. Great finish. Saved us in the first half. At halftime, I don't know how closely you were watching, but at halftime, it feels like Carlo gets the tactical change right at halftime. The second half game looks a lot more controlled. Not to say we're going to score in the next 300 minutes, but we look like we actually have a foothold in the game, and I think that takes us to a draw. A lucky point, but it's a point.
Yeah. I think it's pretty safe to say that Southampton had most of the run of play. Richarlison's goal. That was a spicy meatball, my friend.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That play from Luka Dean, I mean, that left-footed from beyond midfield,
just put an arrow
in stride. And respect needs to be given to Richarlison for that first touch and the finish. The touch was perfect. Perfect. Yes. And he did have two players around him, all right? Put it right there in front of himself and set himself up perfectly just to slide it past the keeper. It was very nice, especially after that Hobgoblin, I think, had scored their first goal or their only goal.
Man seems to haunt our dreams,
Danny Ings.
Just everywhere.
I was about to say bad words, but I'm trying to hold back.
All right. Good job, Jerry.
Yes. Ings scored a little earlier. Charleston's goal was sweet. And, pretty much normal, would you say, was it 4-4-2 for the 4-4-2 the first half? Any kind of shift in the second half?
Couldn't tell you exactly, but it feels like, I couldn't really tell you how. It just kind of feels like, you know, he got into him in the locker room at halftime. You come out in the second half, and it feels like there's a lot more getting to the ball. I felt like in the first half we sat back way too much and just let them kind of play onto us. Mm-hmm. So I think the shift to the second half, whatever it was, Carlo, was good. It was good.
Do you remember the subs?
Sigurdsson comes on in the 42nd minute for a hobbled Gomez. Sidibe comes on in halftime for a Iwobi. And then Moise Kean and Bernard come on later. And, you know, just a throw it at him type thing.
Gotcha. Okay. Wow.
The Sidibe sub is what I was looking for. I couldn't remember who it was that came on at halftime.
Okay. Gotcha.
He played well.
So it seems like what we've got here then. Okay, so just to throw some stats out there, 39% possession for us, 61% for them. Misleading, though, every time. Never take possession stats as an indicator of how a game went.
Absolutely.
No, okay. They had 16 shots to our 11, 5 corners to our 3. These kind of stats do back up the fact that they probably did have a run of play.
Yes.
All right? But that's also sort of our thing right now. We're doing a lot of defensive positioning, trying to be a little more disciplined. So, but at some point I wonder about this kind of stuff when we eke into the Wolves match, does that generate a sense of complacency from our team? Are we disciplined enough to sit back in formation and still have energy? And still bring that energy, because you'll notice our biggest problem over everything right now, Jacob, is creation of chances.
Right.
We're not creating any chances. I see a lot of people talking about whether we need a striker right now. And I'm kind of like, good to have, be cool. But right now we aren't giving our strikers really anything to work with.
See, I agree with that 100%. I think we actually have, for the first time in a long time, a striking partnership that's good. Not even just decent. I think it's good, and I think it's only going to get better. They're still really young, also. Keep that in mind.
And I'm sure there's other players that could do a job that are out there that are experienced.
Oh, for sure.
But let's be honest, Richarlison is very clinical. He's a clinical finisher. For the most part, he finishes a lot when he gets it in front of the goal. And the closer we get him to goal, the better. DCL, very aggressive. He has finished well this season. I wouldn't necessarily say he's come out, you know, guns blazing on the restart necessarily, but I mean, he has played well since Carlo came in. He's looked strong.
Even like him being poor after the restart, I can almost attribute that to we're playing it out of the back, that kind of style, and we're sitting back waiting for teams to come on us. There's no sort of invention or creation going forward.
Yeah, sorry. Everybody, that's a signal for me to Jacob that I'm ready to almost ready to move on to the next discussion. It's very subtle. It's not because there was a gnat or a mosquito here in the room with me. It's a signal. It was entirely intentional.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. Sorry, man. I was distracting as hell. So sorry. It's like you're sitting there making a point and I'm just like,
Wax on, wax off.
It's just ridiculous. Issues. What I should have done is just been a professional and just ate the thing. Then everything's cool. So anyway, but also what you're bringing up is also a big part of that also could be lack of opportunities as well.
Right.
You know what I mean? You could chalk that up to the same thing. So I don't know, guys. I don't know. I said guys, like you are more than one human.
I am me. We is he.
We are Jacob.
The hive mind.
But yeah, so I don't know. And I guess what we have is another sort of stale performance from us for the most part, but right. Not as stale as it could be. Speaking of that,
fast forwarding,
if you were able to witness what happened Sunday morning, I'm sorry, I'm right there with you. So again, if you recorded it, I'm going to say the score now. 3-0, they beat us. Yeah, Wolves beat us. It was not close. Quick description of the first half. Ugly. Really ugly, but you know what? They didn't have many chances. They didn't have many clean chances at goal, and it seemed like that's what we were going for. We started in like a 3-5-2 formation, all right? Because that's what, I mean, it's not far from Wolves' formation. They usually run that 3 in the back. And let's be frank, when you usually run 3 in the back, you're really running 5 in the back. Right? That's one of the things that always is actually the truth. And that's the thing. We were doing a good job of stifling attacks in terms of making sure that they're not getting anything clean on goal. But we were creating nothing.
Mm.
Nothing. As soon as we had the ball, we gave it away. Or we passed it around in the most inefficient possession that I've seen. Right? Yeah. And again, I was sitting there thinking, oh, let's be patient. We're being defensively stubborn. And we were. But what burst that bubble, man, was a penalty.
Yeah. Right foot into the first half.
Yeah. And I told my wife afterward. Actually, my wife and my kids, they were all asking because they were able to see that part. But I told them, I was like, you know, I've seen it called some games and I've seen it let go some games.
Is what it is.
So I was really angry. That initial, like, you want to blame somebody for that nonsense. But I don't know if Luka Dean, it wasn't an obvious, like, hey, I've made a boneheaded tackle kind of thing. And do I think that the guy, who, by the way, is an electric player, is it Potence, is that his name? Just a very live wire. Do I think he fell over after he realized that maybe he wasn't going to make the play? Yeah, I do. Yeah. I think he made it worse. But that happens all the time in football now. It's just the way it is. Contact in the box. If you're, and it was a little on, you have to say, Luka Dean, there was a little bit of clumsiness on the play. Right. You know, this is just reality. I want to blame and go, oh, referees, you know, but I see that called all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, you can only deflect so much until the opposition cracks through if you're not creating something.
Agreed.
Just build them up, you know? Our lineup was DCL, Richie, up top. I'm going backwards. I normally like to go from the back. Pigford, Luka Dean, Yerry Mina, Michael Keane, young Gordo, Anthony Gordo. Gordon. I don't remember why I said that. It's a reference from a stand-up act or something. I'm an idiot. So, Gylfi Sigurdsson, Tom Davies, Walcott was back, Leighton Baines was in, and DCL Richie up top. Just a really – there's no creation, man. There was less creation from that. And honestly, it took us going to a 4-4-2 to get any creation.
Right.
But you know what that did? It just egged them on and gave them more defensive opening, or openings defensively.
Right.
And yeah, we did pick it up in the 60-somethingth minute. I thought there was a little improvement in play. We actually created some chances, but man, no.
So, okay. Here's a question for you. that not I'm not entirely sure how this ties back to our ability to create going forward, but I think there might be some sort of correlation, right? So Mason Holgate has been out. Every game he's not played has been subpar at best, bad at worst. So if I'm remembering correctly, it's 0-0. Yerry Mina gets hurt. Some Seamus Coleman comes on, I think. Does that sound right?
Trying to remember. I believe that is correct.
So I almost wonder if, since we like to play out of the back so much, if not having Mason Holgate back there with Yerry Mina in a partnership that seemed to be doing really well is causing some hitch going to the midfield that is then causing some hitch going to the front line. That sounds really dumb as I say it out loud.
No,
but I almost feel like there has to be something there because Mason Holgate gets hurt and he's been hurt and it's a lot worse. I don't even think it's substantially worse, and I don't see why. And I was wondering if you had any idea why.
I think it's a valid question. I don't know if it's the answer. But it's a valid question because being a center back, one of the things I said it like I'm a center back. I'm not a center back. I've never played center back.
Gerald Mina.
No, man. So, but as when you think about the position of center back, that's a better way to word that. Playing out of the back, we're on those goal kicks, which I know a lot of people hate when we play out of the back like that. But what we're doing is bringing their attack forward to create openings, create holes, right? Because we have trouble creating. So what you're describing, one of the things about center backs is having the ability to be able to slice through the lines sometimes, break the lines with their passes, if not every once in a while carrying the ball, right?
I think
you make a good point. I don't know if it's true. It's worth thinking about, though. You know?
But see, because I think you're right about slicing through the lines, right? Because Michael Keane, for all of his qualities, is not as good as Mason Holgate when it comes to passing the ball forward, especially when there's pressure on the ball. Michael Keane under pressure is just simply not a good – he's not good passing, dribbling. He does not like the ball. He certainly does not like pressure on the ball. And I think Mason Holgate, because he can play in midfield, is almost like a little more use – to there being pressure on the ball. So I think it's not always just a straight back to Jordan Pickford every time somebody gets in this bubble.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Mason Holgate does have the ability to play forward. He's smaller. He's quicker.
Right.
He feels more like a more forward player, you know, which is one of the reasons why you mentioned, hey, what if we played him again in the midfield, which continues to crop up, by the way. I've seen other people on Twitter suggesting
I've seen that too.
So I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that.
I don't either.
Whether or not him playing, I mean, it could be communication on, you know, with the defense. It could be a communication thing to having, you know, Yerry Mina come in. But I mean, I feel like Yerry Mina started with Keane many, many times.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. I do think it's good to have one quick defender in there always. And when Yerry Mina becomes the quick one,
it's a little tough.
You know what I mean? But let's be frank, though. Their two goals, their first two goals, the first one was a PK, a penalty. Sorry. I went all American and said PK. So there's that. And then the second one was a learning experience for our debut player, Jared Branthwaite. I was really psyched to see him get some time.
Me too.
But immediately, as soon as he came in, Dendonker, who was supposed to be marking, just gets a little flick and guides into the corner. And you're just sitting there thinking, holy crap, this game, you take your brain off for one split second and you get punished. Yeah. Especially from a player who you're thinking, maybe he'll get a second to get his feet. No, not at all.
It was a real sink or swim situation.
Yeah, you know. So I'm psyched for him. I do think he'll be okay eventually. Heck, he may play next game. Don't know. Depending on injuries, we'll see. But So if Mason Holgate's in there, do they score that? See, that's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean.
I know, because you don't know.
Yeah. So that's
the best center back in the world, is, you know.
But so defensively, I think it's really tough to make calls like that. Right. What the actual question is, right, which is the attack. Does Mason Holgate, what is Mason Holgate's effect on the attack? All right. Right. And more specifically, going even more specifically on the center mids.
Mm-hmm.
What is his effect on the center mids? Because they look flat. Ever since he's been out, they look flat. Let's be frank though. Also, let's be frank. Let me be Jerry. No, dad joke. I know. 42.
Good one, Jerry.
Yeah. So, but this also comes in a run of tight games. You know what I mean? As in, like, one game, 3 days. One game, 3 days. One game, 3 days. People are tired.
Right.
People are tired. People are beat. If you don't have a deep squad and same players are playing the same games, I mean, the teams with less deep squads are getting punished for this schedule.
Yes.
The way it is. And we're not deep. And we sure as hell ain't deep in the center mid.
Right. Position.
We're not.
And see, that's what I think happened to Andre Gomez. A lot of people have been really quick to write him off just because he has looked, let's be honest, not great.
Yeah.
But he's coming back from a horrible ankle injury. We didn't even think we'd see him again until next season anyway. And he's starting every game. I have a hard time believing that he's just not worn down.
Yeah.
And you can say the same thing about Tom Davis, Gylfi Sigurdsson. There's a lot of gripes toward both of them right now. And they're not unwarranted either, to say that. But they're worn down. It's a lot of games in a very short schedule. And just like you said, we don't have anybody to put in there. So it's going to be the same couple people.
And the only argument against that is, you know what? Other teams got to deal with that too.
Right.
But is Wolves deeper than we are? You can make an argument for that. You could also make an argument there that the players they have are cut out for the system they have.
Right.
I don't know if you can say that about Everton right now. So they come in and they can put in replacements that fit exactly what they want to do.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. That was a rough one, man. That was a rough one. We went to there's a few training sessions that happen like every once in a while on the weekend for my kids.
Uh-huh.
And everyone knows we're Everton family. I mean, there are days where we go to training and our whole family's wearing Everton shirts, you know, because it's like game day, which is probably sounds so ridiculous to some people out there.
We're
just dorky Everton fans, you know what I mean? Like, and we're a dorky Everton family, and we're so fine with everybody. Like at one point, somebody actually said, "Did y'all mean to do that?" No, coincidence.
What do you think?
You know, whoops.
Whoopsies, not again.
What question is that? Anyway, but yeah, I had several people come up to us and just go, "So, about Wolves, huh? Get away from me. Get away from me." Kids. Somebody said it to Bennett, and Bennett was like, "I don't want to talk right now. I don't want to say anything about that game right now." You know what I mean? Like, he's just, yeah, just, but anyway, it was rough. That was a rough one. I get the feeling there was some spirit against Southampton, but against Wolves, it's as though we already felt flat. We already felt uninspired. And then the score started getting lopsided. You give up a penalty and you give up a silly little slip at the beginning of the second half. And it's not the way it should be, but one would think the Dementors had been like sucking away our, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, I just watched Harry Potter with my family. Lay off. So it did. Prisoner of Azkaban.
Big Harry Potter guy. That's...
Yeah. My kids had never seen Prisoner of Azkaban, so we just finished it tonight.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad you're educating them.
Yeah, gotta do it. We read the book first, then we own it. So
good.
Yeah, doing one and then the other. So anyway. Back to football, soccer, you know, that round ball kicking thing. So it was just, it was rough. Wolves was a rough one. Rough performance. We need to look to the future, though. So I'm going to take this card.
There it is.
Get away card. Next. Look to the future. Look to Villa. Okay. So Tom Hanks's favorite team.
Eh?
Eh? So we do like T. Hanks. We like Tom Hanks. He's
cool. I love Tom Hanks.
But and you know what? There are times where I'm like, I don't absolutely mind the villa. You know what I mean? There are times when I don't mind the villa. But I feel like opposition fans hate hearing that stuff. They're like, yeah. Oh, you mean we're not a threat? You know how many times people go, you know, I like Everton okay. I'm like, shut up. You're only saying that because we're not beating you all the time right now.
Agreed.
When we beat you, you will hate us, you jerk. See,
I'm kind of in the same boat with Villa, too. I was talking to my girlfriend the other day about relegation battle at the bottom. And she, you know, I'm just ranting on and on and on. And I'm like, you know, out of all these teams down here, I would really like to see Villa stay up. Love the manager. I think they have a solid group of players.
Yeah.
All the other ones, bye.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing I always bring back to. I'll be curious to talk to the guys who like go the game and like experience the fans. And they're kind of like, no, you shouldn't. No, really, they drop like they like tell me all these stories. They're like, no, you don't really want to like their, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I'm always curious as to what somebody like, you know, Max and John and Terry and Paul and James and Jordan and all those guys who go all the games and everything. They'll be like, I'm curious what they say. But for
living
now,
living our dream, Jerry.
You know what I mean? Just yeah. Just want to go to one damn game.
Living our dream, Jerry.
So, all right, let's talk Villa. 19th place. 19th place. 8-6-21 with 30 points. It has not been the best season.
No.
Their first season back in the Premier League. However, most recent match, 2-0 win over Palace. That happened. Before that, they lost 3-0 to United. Before that, 2-0 loss to Liverpool. Okay? So, yeah. Or, you know, the team that plays in the arena that smells like pee. So, with Villa, Trezeguet scored both their goals against Palace. Yes. Thought that was interesting. Potential lineup. I mean, have I watched Villa every single match? No. But I did a little research here.
Oh, look at you.
Pepe Reina starting in goal for them. Interesting. Ageless wonder, Pepe Reina.
Yes.
Target, I think, is healthy. I think Taylor dealt with an injury issue. So I think Target's coming in on the outside. Mings, who's actually been a pretty solid center back, actually got
linked with Everton.
I'm wondering how true that is.
Soft link.
And a player who we've also been linked with, Konsa, in the past.
Mm-hmm.
He's possibly going to start at the other center back. El Mohammadi on the outside, and then going across the center, Hourihan, Douglas Luiz, McGinn, and then up top, kind of like in a three-pronged attack with Grealish, Samada, and Trezeguet. They do shift more formations every once in a while. They'll go, you know, 4-1-2-1, you know, something like that. And then I think in the last match they went 4-3-3, so they'll switch it up sometimes. Dangerman, I think you got to go with Jack Grealish and Trezeguet, you know, right off the bat. So what do you think about Villa when you first think about them? And I mean, right now it's a relegation threatened squad who has something to play for and we don't.
I think it's a dangerous game, right? Just because what you said, they're fighting for their lives. And if you look down their fixture list, you see the last game of the season, last day of the season, West Ham. Interesting.
Yeah.
So made a couple signings, didn't work out. Wesley, first and foremost. And also, I think he scored against Everton last time we played them. Just been touted as a flop. Of course, bagged one against Everton.
Is that right? Did he actually?
I'm almost sure. Right. Yes.
Yeah.
But anyway. You know, I mean, it's on paper. It's a game that we should probably be winning. But when you're not playing for anything and they're playing for everything, it's tough to tell.
Do you think this is a game where he messes around a little bit? Or do you think it's a game where he's like, nope, 4-4-2?
I mean, that kind of depends on if you think that he has the player personnel to mess around. I mean, if I were him, I would be throwing Ellis Sims in. Branthwaite would be starting. Anthony Gordon would be starting. Maurice Keene would be starting. Ja Virginia would be starting. Kieran Dow would be coming back from Wigan, and he'd be starting. Oh, gosh. But, I mean, there's only so much you can do, I think.
Here's the thing. If you stick with a 4-4-2, you're trying to get – I mean, theoretically, you want to have a strong finish.
Yep.
Every place higher on the table is more money,
mm-hmm.
right? More TV money, right?
Yeah.
And also, this is also like figuring out some momentum coming up for the mm-hmm. next season. You finish with a whimper, and it's just – it's not – you know what I mean?
Agree.
So is this the kind of thing where you're like, you know what? We're struggling in the center of the park right now. So maybe we give, you know, Adniran or
Benny Beningame,
or Beningame, give one of them a shot.
Yeah.
Obviously not both at the same time. And if you're going to give one of them a shot, you need to play them with a player that complements them. So if you're throwing Beningame in there, I feel like you need a player, a composed, you know, somebody like an Andre Gomez, if he's healthy, which he might be. We don't know.
Hopefully.
I'm assuming he is. One of the websites I just checked said we're expecting him to play. But I don't know. I don't know. That could be wrong. This may not be like the somebody with their pulse on the finger on the pulse of Everton. So hard to say. But I know for this is one of those instances where as fans, we're dying to see some of these other players get a look because we don't think the team is that far away.
Yes.
We see goal scorers who can score. We see some center backs and some outside backs who are performing well.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the – I'm not going to say the wingers are in place, but we've got a natural player to play on the left in Bernard. And a natural player to play on the right in Walcott, mm-hmm. right? Things could happen. For a while, those players were starting.
Yes.
Now, Bernard's not been playing great when he gets in, but mm-hmm. I think you got Gordon probably playing over there instead. That's not too bad, right? So I feel like we're close. So the idea of just saying, you know what? Davies didn't play great last match. Let's just possibly put him in later. Maybe throw in Beningame. Mm-hmm. You know, Sigurdsson has not been terrific. He's been, you know, the pass back master.
Yes.
You know, nobody's going forward. That's one of the things about Anthony Gordon. You saw he's so young and arrogant and he's going forward a lot.
Yes.
Or he's trying to anyway.
Right.
Because he's not jaded yet.
Mm-mm.
He's not like, well, let me just not make mistakes yet. He's in there like, I want to show what I can do. So the idea of putting in another player to be like that,
mm-hmm.
but beside a composed head who's not going to take too many chances.
It's not the worst idea.
You know? So do I think it's going to happen? No, I do not. But, you know, I think it's worth talking about.
And see, I think, okay, so you mentioned final placement of the season. I just happened to pop over and look at the table. 5 points off Burnley in 10th, probably not happening. But then you look down the table, and 14th, only 3 points off.
You're right,
Big gap between 14 and 15, but
you're right.
We could finish 14th.
Well, and the thing is, like, I don't think the finish of our season is a bunch of strong teams.
No.
Like, I think these are teams, like, if we actually, you know, hit a streak where we're not doing stupid stuff, then, you know, we should be okay as long as we have a little spirit, but that Wolves game doesn't inspire confidence.
No, it's Villa at home, United away, Bournemouth at home.
So two of those.
Winnable.
But they're also relegation.
Bournemouth, another team that might already be relegated come the final day.
True.
Something to keep in mind.
True.
For sure.
Right now, nobody wants to play United, though.
Just no.
No. Their front three right now is... damn. That's what I'll say. Anyway, what are you thinking lineup wise?
Have you heard on Mason Holgate being fit or not? He said he hasn't been practicing yet still.
No. We're gonna have to make some assumptions.
Right.
And disclaimers. where we say, I think this player is going to play if he's healthy. If not, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so that's what I've written down, actually, is done that.
So. Because, yeah, just looking at the back line, even you've got Holgate and Mina that are both doubts as of the moment, I think.
Yeah, I don't think – I think Mina, having been more recently injured, I would immediately put him out, saying he's not going to play. I have more confidence in Holgate playing.
So then, look, more, then oh. you have Luka Dean playing left back, right? You Michael Keane, last man standing survivor. And then Holgate, hopefully. Branthwaite, if not, I wouldn't mind that. Throw him in there, see what he can do. Right back, Seamus Coleman, not Sidibe. Anthony Gordon up here. Tom Davis, Andre Gomez, if he's healthy, please. Theo Walcott over here, and then Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison up top. I'd still like to see Richarlison play on the wing with Moise Kean up top. I've accepted it's not going to happen. So I see that Theo Walcott is probably more likely.
Yeah. For some reason, Richarlison doesn't play on the right too much. He plays on that left to be able to score goals because with that cut in and use that right foot. I mean, I got some similar stuff here, man. Pickford, who we do need to say something really quick.
Yeah.
Not having the cleanest games lately.
No, a lot of mistakes. Okay?
Almost bobbled one into the goal and then did some weird, like, stick his tongue out, which I guess that's something people do sometimes when they're nervous. They go, you know what I mean? That kind of thing. But it came across not really the best timing.
Right.
I don't know if fans were totally in love with that gesture, whatever. But I don't think he's lost his starting spot.
No, not even close.
I agree with Luka Dean, either Branthwaite or Holgate, Keen, Coleman, Gordon. I think Sigurdsson may get the start over Davies and Gomez. Be in there, and if Gomez is still hurt, then Davies will be back. I just thought out of the two between Sigurdsson and Davies, I almost thought Davies had like even worse game.
It's just such a toss up of bad.
I know. It's just
poison.
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out how much to blame the players.
That's always a thing, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, though. I mean, we immediately jumped to the players, but honestly, like, I don't know, man. I don't know. Do we just immediately – I want to see another player sit in there to see if it's a systemic thing, if it's in our system, the way we're playing right now. If it's – so, but, yeah, do I have a hunch? We're seeing a lot of, you know, backwards passes from Sigurdsson and Davies right now? Yeah.
Yeah.
But Gomez, Walcott, DCL, Richarlison. What do you think the score will be?
Oh, draw.
What's the score? Me too. 1-1 draw. I've been reading my card, kid. All right, enough of this. I think we've talked this one to death. Whoa, landed right on my note card pile.
Boom!
What a throw. Boomerang. All right, so on to a potential transfer. We don't know how real this is. This could be just lies, clickbait, trying to get Americans to click
talk
on.
About it.
Yeah. See, I'm one of those people who's sort of obsessed with the transfer window. Actually one of the things that really got me in love with Everton was actually like tracing transfer rumors.
Oh,
like,
yeah, me too.
Going to message boards upon message boards, never posting because I'm very insecure. I have social anxiety. And so idea of just going in there and going, hey, I'm some guy who doesn't know anything. Let me throw my weight around. That's just not my thing.
I'm similar to you because, you know, I started out in the MLS as an Orlando City fan. So I go over to Everton, and the first transfer window that I really actually followed was the Sandro Ramirez, Davy Klaassen transfer window.
What a crazy window.
Yeah, I was convinced Sandro Ramirez was going to score 20 goals in an Everton shirt.
Me too. You know. Me too. I know. I was completely in on it. I was
me too.
Buying in the Steve Walsh train. Uh-huh. I was like, Sandro is going to be his new Jamie Vardy. This is happening.
Yeah. At the time, it looked like a really business.
I was dumb.
Oh, me too.
Yes, I was wrong. Anyway. Yeah,
it happens.
Yeah, but I freely admit it. The rumor now, though, sir, fellow American Weston McKennie,
yes,
on the payroll of Schalke at the moment in the Bundesliga. He's been there for a while. Interesting mm-hmm. little journey this guy's had. His family moved to Germany when he was young, when he was like 5 or something.
Right.
And he had like older brother or something. So he ended up getting picked up by a local club, played there for a while, played up 2 years, by the way, and then moved to Texas where he played for FC Dallas's academy.
Yes, he was an academy kid in FC Dallas.
Yeah. And then he was like on the brink of, do I sign a homegrown contract with FC Dallas or do I sign for UVA? Because he almost played for Virginia college right. ball. Apparently right. that was a thing. And then he's like, you know what? Let me visit Germany because Schalke is interested. And the article that I was reading basically said that he just fell in love with the stadium and immediately mm-hmm. was just like, this yeah. is it. He's a weird player. Okay. Here's why. Because when you watch him play for Schalke, when I've watched him play in the past,
mm-hmm.
this may have been before Wagner took over, but he played everywhere.
Yes.
You would routinely see him play in the back, or you would routinely see him play near the top.
Mm-hmm.
It could be anywhere on the field. And I right. was just like, what are they doing with this kid? You know, he's such a utility player. He can literally do it all. He can do anything. Right. right. And I was like, what a great kid. You know, he's got to be. Mm-hmm. And he's just sitting there like willingly saying, do what you want. I will play where you want me and I am down with it.
And it almost you know? Seemed like when that was happening, because I remember what you're talking about. It almost seemed yeah. like they didn't quite know where he was best at. So like, hey, we're going to try here. We're going to try here. Try over there. See what you like.
It was weird. It was like two things were happening. Number one, they were plugging holes they didn't have.
Uh-huh.
They had injuries and they were like, we're going to put this athletic kid somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he's good enough. He can make do there. You know right. what I mean? But also the other thing, one of the things with developing kids, especially at a young age, but I assume at that age too, because he's still young. At that time, he was like 20. Now he's 21.
Mm-hmm.
Playing them in different positions, developing different skill sets, developing different moves, developing different ways of thinking, being against the line, having to play against the line right there, or playing wide open space. Just yeah. all that kind of stuff is just good developmentally. So they could have been developing the kid too.
Yeah.
They could have literally been doing both those things. It could be either one. I can't imagine they're sitting there. I bet they're rationalizing it right now saying it was both. But
just like Calvert-Lewin at right wing back. Correct.
Oh yeah. Harry. That's what we were doing.
Right.
Wink,
utilizing
wink.
His many skills. Wink, wink.
Oh yeah. He's a bigger guy. Weston McKennie's a bigger guy than I thought.
Yes.
He's 6'1". I didn't realize that. I actually thought
I did not realize he was 6'1".
Well, okay. It's what he's listed as.
Mm-hmm.
He looks shorter to me on the field. Okay.
Could be exaggerated.
Maybe. You know how they do that sometimes.
Right.
But I don't know. 185 pounds. He's a stout kid. He's not, I wouldn't say he's like massively built or anything, but he's got kind of a tenacious vibe to him when you see him play.
Mm-hmm.
Not Idrissa Gueye tenacious. I do not want to tell you that. No. He's not. He's a number 8. He's a number 8 for the most part. You see where he'll play farther up or farther back sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but really his game is both.
Yeah.
You know, he can carry the ball. He can make passes. He's good defensively. But you see him frequently playing forward often for the U.S. national team. He does both. He's not
yes.
a goal scorer, but he's not a, if we bought him to be like a scrappy 6, that's not the purchase.
Mm-mm.
So my question for you, Jacob.
Yes.
Is he a fit for what we need and how we might use him?
Okay, so.
And there's one other question I have to follow that up, so.
So just looking at his stats really quick, just a quick rundown. This season, 28 appearances, 3 goals, 8 yellow cards. Likes the yellow card. I don't think having that sort of Swiss Army knife type midfielder would be the worst thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, not at all.
What have we got to lose? But at the same time, you have to keep in mind he's young. He's been playing in a Schalke team that have struggled very, very badly.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to buy him with it in mind that he right away is not going to be somebody you can plug in the 11 every week, and he's going to be able to control games from the midfield.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have the, when we signed Andre Gomez, expectation that he's going to be the anchor. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think that's really realistic. I think you sign him to be a squad player at first mm-hmm. and hope that he develops into a starting 11 caliber player. But, you know.
And is that the type of purchase we're making right now?
See, because that's where I was about to go with that also is, do you want the developing player right now, or do you want the more Alon type, 28, 29 years old, maybe not a 3 or 4 year future, but like plug him in now as a world-class talent, more immediately fixes the issue, the very, very apparent issue.
Yeah.
So
it's hard because
it is. It's difficult.
Because right now we're at a weird part right now. Okay. The market is strange.
Yes.
With coronavirus and all that stuff, the market is very weird.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I think I saw a story on a very popular YouTube channel. I'm not sure if it was TIFO or DW Kickoff. One of those, they had a story about the market.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. And about how it's going to be strange.
Yes.
And there's going to be a lot of loans.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of lower level deals that are not, they're cheaper than they normally would be.
Right.
Okay. Now, having said that, the very first deal that I paid attention to this summer was the big Barcelona, Juventus, Pjanic for
Artur.
Yeah. Just nuts money. That's uh-huh. not what I was expecting to see right out of the gate. I got to be honest. But I heard about, you know, our deal with Gabriel sort of. Mm-hmm. You know, we had an agreement with player and with team, and then COVID happened, and now supposedly we don't want to pay that much of a fee.
I saw that.
You know what I mean? Like that sort of fits with that trend about the market. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. The idea of getting a ready-made player in Alan, yeah, he's older. He's good.
But that's just a plug-in and control your midfield signing. You know exactly
you
what you're getting.
You immediately know what you're getting.
Yes,
he hasn't played in Premier League, but guess what? Italy, when it comes to those central positions, usually the players are stout enough and they can handle themselves. I think, to be fair, I will say, Weston McKennie, I think, is physical enough to play in this
league. Oh, I do too. Absolutely.
I think he is the most physical of the young American crop of players. You know what I mean? You look at him and... one of the biggest knock on Pulisic right now is his injuries. Kid's phenomenal. He's playing so fast. He looks so good.
Oh, yeah.
But
excellent.
He's still dealing with the physicality of the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'd be less of a curve for Weston McKennie on that.
Yeah.
I'm worried more about his ability to adapt and to be able to mentally plug in and play and be effective right out of the gate. I worry he'd be more development than we need. And I don't know if we can afford to buy two center midfielders that are very similar. You know?
Because also you've got to keep in mind, we still have Gabamin just kind of hanging out in the wings. And Gabamin and Weston McKennie are similar. I mean, they're not exactly the same type of player. I think Gabamin's definitely way more of a
defensive,
play-to-back kind of guy.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of, you know, Gabamin came from Mainz.
Mm-hmm.
Weston McKennie is coming from Schalke, and not to generalize, but I think the knock on players in the Bundesliga is coming over, and like you said, it's transitioning to a quicker game, a more physical game,
mm-hmm.
and you just don't know for sure.
Yeah,
I think that's the issue.
Who would you pair him with if we were to buy him? Is it him and Andre Gomez in the middle?
Yes, I think so. I think if you're going to sign him, sticking with Andre Gomez.
Yeah. I mean, you know the player he reminds me the most of?
Who?
That we have already? Except maybe he's a little faster. But I'm saying that just because it it's the way it looks on TV, but I don't know if it's actually true. He reminds me a lot of Tom Davies.
See, I thought you were going to say him, but then I was like,
I feel like he just, they both are, to be honest with you, say what you want about Tom Davies. He's a smart kid.
Right.
He's a smart kid. He's a professional at that Agreed. Age. Okay. Do I think he's going to unlock defenses? No. But do I think he's decent with a one-touch pass for the most part? Yeah. You know, I think, but I do think Weston McKennie has maybe more ability, and I say maybe just because I haven't seen him in the league yet, to carry the ball forward. To carry the ball forward, you know, which is something I feel right now we lack in a center midfield player.
I agree.
Carry the ball forward if you need to. You know, be able to turn. Got a guy on your back, got to turn. Got to unlock it somehow without just...
Turn.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And now I've officially gotten old. I'm saying turn in natural conversation. Damn it. I'm sorry. Sorry to everybody. But I do think it's important for a center mid player to be able to do that. And we just do a lot of this play the way you're facing. And a lot of times that's a healthy thing to do, to be fair. I hear they used to say it all the time to me when I was playing. And I hear it said to my kids all the time. Hell, I say it to my kids all the time when they're playing. you know, and so I get it. But there are times when you need a player to be able to do something spontaneous. And that's the problem. We have nothing spontaneous. And the only time we have spontaneity is sloppy, thread-the-needle passes that do not hit their mark.
Jerry, I'm going to be honest with you.
What?
I do not think at this point in time Weston McKennie would be a good signing. I hate it so much.
I tend to agree with you.
I hate it so much. I absolutely adore Weston
McKennie. If we buy him, I think I get a jersey, and I'm super happy because I think
I'm thrilled.
I think he's one of the best young American players right now. Period. He's amazing. I want my kids to watch him. He's a role model for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Young American kid who works his tail off. You know what I mean? I just worry we need a more ready-made thing right now.
Right, and I was about to say, I'm not saying that he is not a fantastic player, because I think in 2, 3, 4 years, he has top echelon midfield potential. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's even a question. But like you said, it's right. We need right now kind of drastic improvement. And, you know, are we willing to splash cash and let him sit for a while?
But if you know, as you pointed out in our group chat earlier, now that there's no more financial fair play, we just buy all the players, you know, and then we'll be made an example of, because that's what everybody likes to do.
I was going to say, like you said, as soon as we're a dollar over, we're banned from Europe for 10 years. So
because that's what they do. That's what they do to us. They're like, oh, we know 5 players have simulated and fooled referees into penalties. But no, let's pick on Omar Nias because he hasn't suffered enough.
Omar.
So... And really, that was just picking on us, which was just, that was crap.
It was. So ridiculous. I remember that.
And then Carlo gets a touchline.
Gets sent off for talking after the game.
Yeah, but you know what? You got Robertson and that blonde-haired coach that they have with the glasses, that guy, whoever that guy is. That guy. He can go, and he lights officials up, dude. When they lose or draw, he lights them up. And it doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. So that's the thing. I want to get to a point where we're not the example anymore.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It's the same problem that we had before, man. When people are like, I don't mind Everton. You think you're being nice right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're just putting daggers through my heart. You know what I mean? And that's the thing. The FA feels the same way. They're like, oh, well, they're not. They're okay.
They're just
ban them. You know? UEFA did the same thing. So, so if it's feasible to purchase both him and Alan, I'm down with that.
Yes, please.
I think he'd be a great understudy, and I think he could play some serious ball for us.
Absolutely.
Eventually. Sadly, we need him now. But Weston, if you're watching...
We love you.
We want you at Everton. We do.
Please come.
I always just assume they're all watching, which is hilarious.
Weston McKennie.
Yeah, he's just hanging out. Oh, my name's on this video. Let me watch this long gray-haired guy with the cigarette shirt. He must be from Iceland. No, not nearly that cool. Sorry. all right, man. Well, that's it. All right. And I'm spent. We've finished our topics for today. Jacob, thanks so much for being on. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It. Good to talk to you again. Hopefully you're good luck with Orlando City. Hopefully you, for your sake, I hope you get a win. I don't have a favorite Premier League or MLS team yet. But Charlotte gets a team super soon.
I know you're excited about that.
Yeah.
What are you hoping the name is?
Man, I like the idea of Charlotte Athletic for some reason. Everyone says they want Charlotte Town.
I was about to say, I like Charlotte Town.
See, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Like, the thing I wanted was Queen City, because I thought Queen City FC or something like that would have been different and unique. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, but, you know, and it's always FC or SC or anything, you know, or United or something like that. But, yeah, man, I don't know. I think it's going to be Charlotte Town. That's what I think is going to happen. But I like the idea of Charlotte Athletic, just because Town, I don't know, makes a lot of sense with the biggest city in North Carolina.
That's okay. That's fair. That's fair.
You know what I mean? It's just a logic thing for me.
Yeah.
But whatever. What do I know? Oh, yeah. And by the way, Jacob, do you have like a supporters group that you're a part of? Blank Toffees?
I do not, but there is a Nashville Everton supporters group that I actually was just in contact with today after I learned about them for the first time. So
cool.
Based out of Franklin, which is actually where the missus is from.
So they're the Nashville Toffees?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Well,
they meet in Franklin.
So I've got the group that I've only met a few guys with, the Carolina Toffees. Okay. Mm-hmm. So giving shout outs to both those groups, because those would be our respective groups if I weren't so shy.
Shy.
Yeah. I do want to figure out how to get the gumption up to meet with those dudes in Charlotte and like drive down to Charlotte and watch a game at their cool Charlotte bar. You know, be really cool if, you know, coronavirus becomes less of a thing. Hey. So,
hey, how are you?
Anyway, so shout out to Nashville Toffees and the Carolina Toffees. Hopefully we can eventually start talking more with other groups out there. And if you're a supporter in those areas, you should totally follow those groups on Twitter and on Facebook and meet up with them and hang out and, watch games, because that's awesome. You should also check out the Toffee Blues website. There are ample bits of Everton content on there. Cool. And sometimes
lots of fun little divots on there.
Sometimes it's even made by that guy. I don't know if he's on that side or that side, but
over here,
Jacob's a contributor to the Toffee Blues website. And so are a lot of our other friends that we record with on the other shows. They're cool guys. So check that out. Also follow the Toffee Blues on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You know what? I even think there's a LinkedIn account. I'm not even kidding. I think there's a LinkedIn account for real. So if you want to link up for business, LinkedIn connections. Synergy. That's a thing.
Photosynthesis.
I learned about that in economics 30 years ago. Anyway, but that's the end of the show. Thanks so much, Jacob. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Much love to everybody out there. And if you end up needing a cool book for your kids, Randolph the Christmas Smooch came from Toffee Blues Show. Check it out. I wrote it. And even though a red illustrated it, it still could be okay.
Hey. Good books.
So anyway, that's a thing. So check it out, please. And much love to everybody. That's it for the show. Jacob, I'll talk to you next time. And yeah, man, we'll, that's it.
Yeah, so it is.
C-O-Y-B.
C-O-Y-B.
So it's what the kids type in the Twitter. All right, everybody, see you later. Bye-bye. I'm going to throw the card now.
Good night.